Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Very happy to have you along with us on this Friday, November the 16th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock.
I am happy to be here tonight, and this pantsuit, it's asbestos tonight.
That was Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton joking as she expected to take some jabs from her closest challengers, Senator Barack Obama and John Edwards, during last night's Democratic candidate presidential debate from Las Vegas. We'll wonder if she did ward off the flames, the barbs by her challengers. She gave maybe just as good as she got. We'll wonder what you thought about last night's debate and welcome your reactions and questions. Do you think that Hillary Clinton recovered from her stumble on the illegal immigrants' driver's license questions from the last debate? Did Obama and Edwards put any more chinks in her armor or her asbestos pantsuit? Or did they do themselves some harm? What about the other candidates? Who impressed you the most or the least? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And please include your first name and your community with your email. What did you think of last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate? Our guest is Rachel Payne Caulfield, professor of political science at Drake University in Des Moines, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
We wanted to talk to someone from Iowa this morning rather than from Las Vegas, because, frankly, you're our neighbor, and we have listeners in Iowa, and you also have caucuses there in less than 50 days, and
yep.
the race on the Democratic side is pretty close right now, isn't it?
It's incredibly close here in Iowa. We're 47 days away, and for the past several months, all three top Democratic contenders have been within the margin of error. It's a neck-and-neck race.
Yeah, and it was important for Hillary Clinton to recover from her admitted less-than-best effort in the last debate?
Absolutely. At this point, because we're coming down to the wire, more and more people are paying attention, so there's a lot at stake in these debates at this point. There's a lot at stake in everything that they do. And she had a tough week. She had a very tough week. In classic political fashion, the shark started to see some blood in the water and went on the attack.
Yeah.
And, I think her performance last night actually reinforces her position in the race, at least on a national level. We'll see how it plays out in Iowa now.
Yeah, some of the national analysis is saying that Clinton shows she can take a punch in Vegas debate, or Clinton recovers somewhat with her performance. Do you go along with that?
Absolutely. She was relaxed. She was personable. I would not say that it was a slam dunk. She was the winner. Having said that, she did exactly what she needed to do, probably more so than any other candidate on the stage last night.
Yeah, let's listen to a little we'll play some clips of various candidates, but I believe this was Barack Obama right out of the gates, taking his first jab at Senator Clinton.
Senator Clinton, I think, is a capable politician, and I think that she has run a terrific campaign. But what the American people are looking for right now is straight answers to tough questions. And that is not what we've seen out of Senator Clinton on a host of issues, on the issue of driver's licenses for illegal immigrants. We saw in the last debate that it took not just that debate, but two more weeks before we could get a clear answer in terms of where her position was. The same is true on Social Security. We have serious disagreements about how we're going to make sure that Social Security is there for the people who need it. And what I am absolutely convinced of is that right now, we need a different kind of politics.
We'll talk some about the Social Security question down the road, but turned out last night Hillary Clinton did give a very short answer to the question as to whether she supported driver's licenses for illegal immigrants, right?
Yes, and her very short answer was no.
Mm-hmm. and Obama's is yes.
Obama got very tripped up on that question, which was particularly interesting. He wavered. He gave an answer that was actually quite similar to Hillary Clinton's answer a couple weeks ago, which was, you know, in theory, I understand this. I don't completely support it.
Right. Yes, but. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And I think one of Hillary Clinton's best moments on that stage last night was that she could respond with a very simple no. And I think that really overshadowed everything that had come before.
We're going to check our weather forecast and continue talking about last night's debate. We'll talk about the issues that were raised and the answers to the questions, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Which candidate impressed you the most in terms of the issues raised, the answers given, and why? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, November the 16th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. Coming up this afternoon after 4, At Issue with Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins for your views on the news, when you can call in with your thoughts about the week's most significant news story. That's coming up later today here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate in Las Vegas with our guest, Rachel Payne Caulfield, a professor of political science at Drake University in Des Moines. She is coordinator of the Iowa Caucus Project at Drake, which is a campus-wide initiative to involve students in government and elections. We're welcoming your thoughts and reactions and questions about last night's debate. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Wondering if you think Hillary Clinton recovered from her fumble in Philadelphia a while back, the last debate, with last night's debate performance, whether or not the boys were rough on her, to paraphrase former President Bill Clinton. And we are playing some of the highlights from the candidates and welcoming again your reactions. Here's Senator Edwards taking his first jab at Hillary Clinton last night.
Senator Clinton says she will end the war. She also says she will continue to keep combat troops in Iraq and continue combat missions in Iraq. She says she will turn up the heat on George Bush and the Republicans. But when the crucial vote came on stopping Bush, Cheney, and the neocons on Iran, she voted with Bush and Cheney. On the issue of Social Security, she said, standing beside me on the stage, that she would not do anything about the cap on Social Security taxes. And she has said privately to people, because it's been reported in the press, that in fact she would consider raising that cap. And the most important issue is she says she will bring change to Washington while she continues to defend a system that does not work, that is broken, that is rigged, and is corrupt.
Your reaction, Professor Caulfield, to Edwards?
Well, in Philadelphia, he, I think, got a lot of traction by attacking Hillary Clinton. So he went into this debate thinking, okay, you know, I know this works. I've seen her be vulnerable. If I can continue on that offensive, if I can continue to make her vulnerable, then, you know, my work here is done, and everyone else can kind of pile on and further the critique. It didn't work last night.
he got booed a couple times, didn't he?
He did, as did Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton is polling very well in Nevada right now. She had a sympathetic audience. The debate format was a little bit different, which I think changed the dynamic a little bit. And so both Obama and Edwards would continue to attack to the extent that they could. And then, you know, you could tell that as the debate went on, they were realizing that it just wasn't working and they needed to back off, which is, in the end, what happened. They still tried to highlight some policy differences, but they did it in a much different tone.
Yeah, in fact, Hillary Clinton got some applause with this retort.
I don't mind taking hits on my record, on issues, but when somebody starts throwing mud, at least we can hope that it's both accurate and not right out of the Republican playbook.
The Republican playbook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Edwards was also saying we can't just trade the corporate corrupt Republicans for corporate Democrats.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that single line was probably her best line of the entire debate.
Yeah. And let's take some calls. We
sure.
have David in South Milwaukee first. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. A couple points. I think I watched a different debate than your guest did. The general point against Hillary is that she is triangulating her points and various views. Translated means she takes three issues on a single topic, three sides to a topic. And I wish that Obama and Edwards had made that point clearer. Yes, Edwards has changed his position, but he has typically maintained one position at a time. And then I'll hang up in just a moment, but one other point. Hillary's comments on the indexing the Social Security cap, which is currently capped at, 97.5?
Mm-hmm.
After that, you're not taxed anymore. The statistics that she used to obfuscate her point on that was sophomoric at best, and I wish Obama would have called her on it, but I wish he would have just rubbed her nose in it. It was what she did to that was just horrible. And I'll take your guests' pro-Hillary views off the air.
All right. Well, which one do you want to take first?
Well, first, on the issue of Clinton triangulating, you know, this is a very common critique. And I think, in fact, I mean, Edwards raised this last night, and he actually said, mm-hmm. John Roberts asked him a question about the idea that Hillary Clinton flip-flops or triangulates. And, you know, isn't it okay to change your mind? And Edwards' response was incredibly clear, and I think it resonates with a lot of voters, and that is, you know, absolutely, changing your mind is part of politics, it's part of maturing, learning about mm-hmm. issues, but it's a very different thing to take multiple positions at the same time. I think it's a good attack, and it's worth saying that John Edwards right now is doing very well in Iowa, and seems to be coming up in Iowa. I think that's part of the reason why is that he's willing to make those attacks. On indexing Social Security, Obama called Hillary Clinton on her position on this, and she was very clear about the fact that she is not comfortable automatically changing the Social Security tax system.
She wasn't ready to say yes. I support lifting the cap on, of the
97.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way she put it, right, is that this is a $1 trillion tax increase on the middle class, and you know the way it's characterized by other candidates is that this is a $1 trillion. Increase in the Social Security Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're going to supply for baby boomers in their retirement, and it's incredibly important. And so there's definitely a difference of opinion here, and, you know, obviously it's the voters' job to sort this out to some extent.
Yeah.
And
Barack Obama was, you know, he does say he favors lifting that cap.
Yes. Mm. Yes,
and he says that this would just be the the really rich people that this would affect, not the middle class.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Clinton returned with, you know, there are a lot of people that I know who would be affected by this, and then kept coming back to this idea of a bipartisan commission. We need a bipartisan commission, and that's going to solve the problem. And certainly, that's a step in the right direction. But you know, she has not. She's not taken the position that most Democrats want her to on this issue, and I think it's worth noting that Hillary Clinton right now is in kind of a tough spot. She's leading Iowa, but she's not leading by much, and mm-hmm. it's completely within the margin of error. She is a calculated politician. There's no question about that, and I think that's what a lot of Democrats see in her that they don't like. And it's one of the reasons that Obama and Edwards have gained as much traction as they have.
Yeah.
People see them as passionate, committed Democrats, whereas I think they see Clinton as, you know, true politician who will say what she needs to say to get elected. And there was one line last night that was particularly relevant to this, and it was when the question of gender was raised.
Yeah, that's right. And I do have, in fact, I have a clip from that. Mm-hmm. And, but I wanted to say, too, that she did get a little bit of a jab in correcting Barack Obama because he was saying that this $1 trillion tax cut.
Right.
And then she said, well, I think you meant $1 trillion tax increase, because
yes.
That's what it would be.
Yes.
She was asked about whether, whether the boys were piling on or whether she was playing the gender card. And mm-hmm. Here's part of what she said about that.
People are not attacking me because I'm a woman. They're attacking me because I'm a head.
And got a big round of applause for that, too.
Yeah, and it's a line that she's used before, mm-hmm. And it always plays well. Just prior to that, she said, you know, people accuse me of playing the gender card. I'm here in Las Vegas not playing the gender card, but trying to play the winning card.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that taps into what a lot of people are very skeptical about, and that is, you know, that she is so hungry for this. That mm-hmm. that really, it's less about principle and more about winning.
Tom in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, I'll try to keep this, short. Long story short, I also saw a different debate than your guest. Back during the 1890s, the last time we were in a situation like this, when we were a plutocracy, there was one of the St. Tammany bosses says, I don't care who votes for him, I want to nominate him. Now, what we got going here is the same thing. We got the corporations who, of course, the CNN, the media, that's a corporate mouthpiece, building Hillary up because they're not afraid of Hillary. Hillary's been on Forbes magazine cover. She will not change the game of the rich over everybody else. Long story short, the problem is that nobody else, the money won't let anybody else but Hillary be the Democratic nominee. And that way they keep the game the same. They keep the trade policy the same. They keep us in Iraq, which is a corporate war. And
all right, you know what? That's fine. We'll have our guest. But I want to know why you're saying you saw a different debate. I mean, what did you?
Because the 10, 15 minutes I've been listening, I think I'm in Hillaryville.
Well, no, we're just talking about the responses she had and the jab she took and the jab she gave back.
You guys play this back, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's all I'm saying.
CNN wants Hillary to win Rachel Payne Caulfield.
Well, it's clear that she has a lot of moneyed interest behind her, and she's got a lot of money behind her. And again, I think it feeds into this very common concern among Democrats that she is... she's the chosen one, not because she's passionate about the issues that the Democrats are passionate about, but because she thinks she can win this. And it gets back to the idea of triangulation and, strategic. And I just want to be, I'm a completely uncommitted Iowa voter, which is actually not as rare right now as one might guess. But and I've been to a lot of events.
I've watched
these candidates for a year.
Yeah.
I think she did a good job last night. I think she did what she had to do.
Yeah.
Whether or not I agree with her or you agree with her, it's a completely separate issue.
We're going to check news and then we'll talk more about last night's debate. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Friday, November the 16th. We are talking with our guest political scientist about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate and welcoming your reaction to the debate or your questions about the debate. Rachel Payne Caulfield is a professor of political science at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, and our number is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Carl in Lake Geneva. Hi, Carl. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Professor, I just had a question / comment for you. I was mm-hmm. wondering, I know it's sort of accepted truth that top-tier candidates receive more questions during a debate, and that's obviously has been true for Hillary Clinton in the earlier debates. And I unfortunately did not get to see last night's debate, but I was wondering that since you said she had sort of a tough week and sort of a stumble with the illegal immigrant license issue and some other small things, was she asked less questions or more questions or the same amount of questions And if there was a difference, if that even matters whatsoever, if it's any sort of indication.
As the other, more or less questions than the other candidates, you're saying, Carl?
Right. I mean, usually you see the top-tier candidates receiving a large majority of the questions, and I was just wondering, like I said, since she had sort of a rough week, if she got less questions, if there's any sort of correlation between candidates' performance and the actual questions they get at the following debates.
Professor Caulfield?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that, you know, this hooks into, I think, a frustration that is consistent with the earlier two callers as well, which is that all of the attention is on Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we end up talking about when we talk about the Democratic nomination. And to the extent that we're talking about Edwards or Obama, it's because people see them as viable alternatives. They've proven that they can get some support. But there are, you know, there's a whole field of candidates who have really good points to make, and unfortunately, the dialogue about the election ends up being reduced to how is Hillary doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to kind of, I did not count the number of questions. My sense was, particularly audience questions were going to some of the lesser known candidates, and for people who didn't watch the debate, the first half of the debate was a series of questions in typical debate format that were asked by John Roberts and Campbell Brown of CNN. And then the second half of the debate was an opportunity for undecided Nevada voters to ask their questions. And a lot of those audience questions were geared towards lower-tier candidates, candidates who haven't gotten as much attention in prior debates. But I will say one of the things that I really liked about this debate is that we had a lot of airtime given to Biden and Richardson and Dodd, less so for Kucinich, largely because he didn't demand as much time.
Yeah, I mean, they all got in various comments and some highlights. And in fact, I actually have one more clip, though. I remember Kucinich when he was saying, "Hey, excuse me,"
yeah,
you know, to Wolf Blitzer, because he did ignore him on a particular question.
Yes,
but he did get in his a pitch for impeachment. Here's a clip from that.
I don't think that the first questioner's question was really answered about what are you going to do about this president. And for that matter, the vice president, because they're out of control, and the Congress isn't doing anything.
Right. Thank you, Congressman.
It's called impeachment, and you don't wait. You do it now.
Well, he had some supporters there for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a question about the Patriot Act that I believe was... it started with a question about racial profiling. And it kind of turned into a question about the Patriot Act. And Kucinich, as somebody who voted against the Patriot Act, and he added a little jab in there.
Yeah, he took a line from our Senator Russ Feingold,
yep.
I think, because he said, "I voted against the Patriot Act because I read it."
Exactly,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a really nice jab. And then that was followed up with a question to Kucinich about, you know, are those people who did vote for it responsible for things like racial profiling and violation of civil liberties? And he, you know, he really took that and ran with that. And you know, he had a very good quote there where he said, "Just imagine what it'll be like to have a president who's right the first time, who's actually making decisions." And then he talked about impeachment, very popular with the crowd at that particular time. We didn't hear as much from him on other issues, but you know, Joe Biden did a great job last night. He was funny.
Mm-hmm.
He was relaxed. He, you know, he really came across as. And I think Biden's biggest problem on the campaign trail is that he sometimes comes off as too much of an academic. He talks a lot.
And remember that one where Wolf Blitzer did jump in. He said, I'll gently remind candidates,
yeah.
you know, that their time is up. And Joe Biden was going on a roll. And then he said he just stopped immediately when Wolf jumped in and said, "You're right.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm told I should stop."
Yeah.
But he, you know, he was very relaxed and easy and a lot of fun to listen to. So I think he had a great night last night as well.
The I was thinking of, I know, Kucinich was the only one of the candidates when asked, it was one of those yes or no, will you support the Democratic nominee for president, whoever that person is? And everybody said yes, except
Kucinich,
who said, you know, not if that person supports war or something.
Yeah.
And Biden made a joke saying, of course not, I'm not going to, you know, support these guys.
Right,
is a joke. Yeah.
I wouldn't support any of them.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that question directly comes out of John Edwards' little flub that he made saying that he would not endorse Hillary Clinton if she were the nominee, which got a lot of news. And ultimately, he backtracked on that and again last night said, yes, I'll support the Democratic nominee. So Kucinich was the only one that really stood out on that question and said, nope, not necessarily.
Daryl in Bloomington, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I see tremendous differences between Edwards and Obama and Kucinich and Hillary. Hillary wasn't even for talking to Iran and other countries. The difference in foreign policy and in their ability to deal with these kind of issues, if we bomb Iran, for example, if we don't deal properly with Pakistan and some of these other countries, it can mean, I mean, multiple trillions of dollars of cost. It can mean a quality of life that, and a standard of living that's terrible. Now, I want to bring up one other thing. The early 1970s, I was in Oklahoma. We had caucuses, and
I need you to talk about, you know, relate this to last night's debate.
This is real important because they debate in the caucuses, and they choose, each one is under a certain candidate, and then they give their spiel. They try to debate with each other to get them to go from one to the other candidate. And you got a lot of candidates there, and that's going to be very interesting, and she should speak to that issue.
All right, that's good. I'm sorry. I wanted you to kind of relate it to our topic and not give us some history lesson there. So what about the caucuses?
Well, first of all, with foreign policy, there are very strong differences, and they were highlighted last night. Barack Obama in particular really took a stand on the fact that, you know, this was a major difference between Obama and Clinton, and that is that he would actually talk to enemies. He would talk to our enemies, and she was not committed to doing that. Pakistan came up, and there was a huge discussion about what to do in Pakistan and how the different candidates would try to handle it. And there are significant policy differences there and philosophical differences. The question of the congressional vote on whether or not to declare the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization got a lot of attention last night, and many of the candidates directly attacked Clinton for her vote on that. So there are significant differences in foreign policy. I think that's important.
We have to check our weather forecast, and then I'll have you talk a little bit about the caucus process, even though it's not directly related to last night's presidential debate. Talking with our guest about the Democrats debating last night in Las Vegas, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, we will welcome in two guests with different perspectives to talk with you about the news of the week. It's our Friday Week in Review in our next hour. We are talking about the news of the day, for political junkies anyway, and that's last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate. Talking with our guest, Rachel Payne Caulfield, a professor of political science at Drake University in Des Moines. I'm talking with her about how all of the candidates did last night in the debate. I certainly started it focusing in on Hillary Clinton, as many eyes were on how Hillary Clinton would do last night since she had had some recent stumbles in her campaign. And there is a dead heat going on right now in Iowa, the top three candidates, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Barack Obama, are locked in a three-way tie practically. And a lot of people saying that these debates are becoming more and more important as that Iowa caucus, the first one in the nation, arrives shortly, at least less than 50 days from now. And we had a caller just before weather time, Professor Caulfield, who I guess wanted you to talk a little bit about how that works in Iowa.
Yeah, the the caucuses are a completely unique experience. and I think a lot of people assume that a caucus is pretty much like a primary, but it's really not. It's a very different voting procedure, and particularly in the Democratic Party, it's a really unique voting procedure. And everybody joins in a church basement or a school auditorium or a living room, depending on the size of the geographic area. And the first round of voting, you literally get up and you move to one side of the room or move to a corner, and you join with other people who are supporting your candidate. So we say that you form preference groups all around the room, and then you count off how many people are in each preference group. But then each preference group has an opportunity to send somebody up to address the caucus as a whole about why their candidate is the best candidate. And at that point, there's a lot of persuasion going on. There's a lot of bargaining going on, negotiation going on, because there's a second round of voting. So anybody can switch to a different preference group. And a candidate needs at least 15% of the people in that caucus in order to be viable, in order to get a delegate to move on to the next county-level convention. So it's a very public process. It's a very, it really is a discussion among neighbors about which candidate is best suited, which candidate takes issues and takes positions that are consistent with their beliefs, which candidate is best able to win in the general election. But it's a really interesting experiment almost every year, every caucus season. It's a really interesting experiment in participatory democracy. And I have to say, as somebody who was not born and raised in a state that used caucuses, coming to Iowa was a really very eye-opening experience, because you hear a lot about voter apathy, and you hear a lot about how little people care about issues and how little they know about candidates. And in fact, when you go to the caucus, you're reminded of the fact that there are a lot of people who do care about the issues and a lot of people who are actively engaged in these conversations.
Absolutely. And Terry in Monona is active in this conversation. Now, hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I didn't see the debate last night, but since it was held in Nevada, I wonder if there was any questions asked regarding Nevada as a site for nuclear waste. I know it was a hot-button issue some years ago as far as targeting Nevada for nuclear waste, a nuclear waste site, and I wonder if that ever came up at all.
It did.
It did, indeed. I don't believe there was a singular question about it. Having said that, Senator Obama was asked about the use of nuclear energy in Illinois as an alternative form of energy, and how that would play into any energy policy that he had.
And he did. They were saying, well, what are you going to do with the waste?
Exactly,
and, if you don't want Yucca Mountain. And he was saying, well, at least temporarily on site, but that's not ideal. And he kind of fumbled a little bit on that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He fumbled quite a lot, actually. There's obviously a recognition that nuclear power is one alternative source of energy. The question is whether or not it's safe and whether or not it's environmentally advisable. And all of the candidates seem to recognize that Yucca Mountain, and I'm shocked that they recognize this in Nevada. But they all recognize that, this is a fundamental problem that we have right now. I believe it was Richardson proposed making Yucca Mountain now a research site about nuclear waste. He was very clear about the fact that in terms of disposing of nuclear waste, the key is to develop new technologies that will help us deal with that. Nobody has a firm plan yet for what to do about this, and nobody put forward a plan last night for how to deal with this. But it did certainly come up.
Seems to me that John Edwards got a jab in, maybe even Hillary Clinton, saying you were for Yucca Mountain at first and now you're against it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, Terry, it certainly did come up. Dave in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think what we're focusing too much on is really what is just campaign and debate rhetoric. in the attacks on Senator Clinton. What the Clintons did in office, however, had reduced campaign and debate rhetoric to nothing. First of all, with respect to the last few callers, they used all their political capital at the end of the Clinton administration to get peace in the Middle East. They with regard to the guy who mentioned plutocracy, they raised taxes on the wealthy by a third. And as a result, by the end of the Clinton administration, income disparity was declining in some very important categories, while we were simultaneously running reverse Treasury auctions. They presided over the greatest expansion of health care since Medicare and Medicaid via the state children's health insurance program, something the current occupant of the White House vetoed. And gay rights, the campaign to eliminate discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in the military, and I could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, so you're fans of the Clinton administration, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I want to see Clinton reelected, as I feel that Gore was elected. And
yeah, we're focusing in on last night's debate rhetoric because we're talking about last night's debate.
Am I still on, Joy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying we're focusing way too much on what's campaign rhetoric, which is what the debate's all about. I mean, they're all using essentially rhetoric. They're trying to get elected. They're not focusing on what's actually going to happen when they come into office, why that's going to happen, really what their track record is as far as being precise about the legislation.
Right.
And what
I'm sorry, Dave, we are running a little bit short on time. So, Rachel Payne Caulfield, do you agree with that maybe these debates aren't really giving us a lot of information?
Well, yeah, this has been an ongoing trend. Over the past several campaign cycles, we're seeing rhetoric be shorthanded more and more and more, and to the point where, unfortunately, we're having much less substantive debates about policy. And part of that is the emergence of the media and the need for sound bites and the need for, and you saw that last night. You saw Wolf Blitzer kind of really, really trying to get tough on yes-no questions.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these policies are not yes-no policies. I mean, these are complicated questions that the country is trying to deal with. And, as a political scientist, I have to say one of my pet peeves about presidential elections is this assumption that somehow or another presidents control everything. There's actually very little power behind the presidency, with the exception of foreign affairs. And domestic politics, the president must work with Congress on everything. And so what we're seeing is, as the campaign gets longer and more expensive, and there's a greater need to attract more people to your campaign, presidential candidates are talking about a lot of issues, but they're not focusing in on the substantive details of issues, and they're not really focusing in on the limits of their own power and the extent to which they're going to have to negotiate Washington to get things done. So I would agree completely. There's a lot of rhetoric. It'd be nice if there were a little bit more substance. I think there, as we move into the general election and we're down to two candidates, we can start having those conversations. It's very difficult to do with that many candidates on a stage at the same time.
Right, yeah, I mean, if you only had a couple of candidates, then people would be yelling that you're excluding some candidates.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, Bill in Sun Prairie.
Oh, yeah, good morning. I too, did not watch the debate last night, but that's because over the years, I was a very strong Democratic person, involved in the party, et cetera. But what I see now sickens me. It is a soundbite culture, and we have some people with money trying to force Hillary down our throats instead of allowing us to look at a more rational-based candidates like John Edwards.
Yeah. All right. Well. So, what do you have to say about that, Rachel Payne Caulfield?
Well, I think I'll put in a plug here for Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
mm-hmm.
I feel incredibly lucky to be in Iowa, and one of the things that I love about being here is that Iowa voters really do have a chance to talk to the candidates and to ask them questions. And it's interesting to me how Iowa polls differ from national polls because Iowa voters are regularly attending events, are pushing candidates on their, on the issues that matter, not just to Iowans, but to the country as a whole. And so I think there's,
you know, there are these rare opportunities in the political system to get beyond sound bites and to get beyond the role of money and to actually engage in grassroots campaigning. I think Iowa and New Hampshire, sadly, are two of the only places where this still happens.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. I want to thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you'll come back sometime, maybe when you're making the big decisions.
Absolutely.
Right.
Thank you.
Rachel Payne Caulfield, professor of political science at Drake University in Des Moines, coordinator of the Iowa Caucus Project at Drake, which is a campus-wide initiative to involve students in government and elections, talking with us about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate, which was held in Las Vegas. We'll, I'm sure, talk more about the debate coming up in our next hour, which is our Friday Week in Review. Plus, we'll review all the other important political news of the week. And if you are interested in politics and debates, you'll hear a couple more on National Public Radio on December 3rd and 4th. The Republican candidates and the Democratic candidates running for president on NPR during the 1 until 3 o'clock time period. So mark the calendars. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.